Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Once again, everyone, I'm your host, Ray Shasha. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. And by the Rockstar Chronicle Series 1, my new book featuring over 45 intimate conversations with the greatest music legends the world will ever know. Available now at bookbaby.com and amazon.com. John Oates is one half of the best-selling duo of all time, Hall & Oates, as well as an accomplished solo artist, singing from the time he could talk and playing the guitar since the age of five. John Oates was destined to be a musician. Born in New York City, his family moved to a small town outside of Philadelphia in the early 1950s, a move that would change the course of his life. Soaking up the sounds of the 60s, John was influenced by the nascent folk scene, bluegrass, delta blues, and ragtime guitar styles, while also immersing himself in R&B legends such as Otis Redding, Sam and Dave, The Temptations, Curtis Mayfield, Smokey Robinson, and The Miracles. One of the biggest mentors was his guitar teacher, Jerry Ricks, who had spent time on the road with Mississippi John Hurt and Son House, and introduced John to the music of Doc Watson and Reverend Gary Davis, passing down their signature finger and flat picking styles. John Oates met Daryl Hall while attending Temple University in Philadelphia. The two began collaborating and playing music together, marking the beginning of their historic partnership. Since their formation in the early 70s, Daryl Hall and John Oates have gone on to record 21 albums, which have sold over 80 million units, making them the most successful duo in rock history. They have scored 10 number one records, over 20 top 40 hits, and have toured the world for decades. In addition to their numerous American Music, MTV Awards, and multiple Grammy nominations, in 2005 they were inducted into the American Songwriters Hall of Fame, and in May of 2008, were presented the prestigious BMI Icon Award for their outstanding career achievement in songwriting. In April 2014, Hall & Oates were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. John's most recent record album, John Oates and the Good Road Band, live in Nashville, is set for a September 18th release. Please welcome R&B and soul guitarist, singer, songwriter, record producer, best known as half of the rock and soul duo of Hall & Oates with Daryl Hall and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member John Oates to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, John.
Hey, Ray. How's it going, man?
I'm doing good, man. Are you in Nashville?
No, actually, we're in Colorado. We decided we had an escape for the mountains for a little bit, but we've been in Nashville most of the time.
I love Nashville. I've been there many times. My wife's from Kentucky, so it's not too far away.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, they have some of the best musicians in the world in Nashville.
Well, yeah, and I've been lucky enough to play with a lot of them too. So it's been really a great musical experience for me ever since moving there.
Let's talk about the new album first. It's going to be released September 18th. You say it's like Dixieland.
It's live from Nashville. We recorded it at the legendary venue, the Station Inn,
right,
which is a very small, intimate venue, mostly for bluegrass and acoustic music. I actually kind of started the band in that venue, playing some early shows about 3 years ago. So it was kind of a full circle moment to bring these guys back after having been on tour with them for a while and recording with them, to really bring them back to the place where it all started.
Well, I've listened to, you know, as many tracks as I could. I don't have the album, but I, you know, skipping around the internet, I found a lot of great tunes from the album. And I really liked it a lot. It's very, very powerful. You got a lot of old stuff in there from 1930s, Sitting on Top of the World, 1924, Anytime, Jimmie Rogers, 1932 classic, Mr. Mississippi. Very, very, very cool. How did you decide to do this and, you know, and that also get decent recordings of all those old songs?
Well, this project, the live album that's coming out September 18th, is really, it's really a kind of the next step from the Arkansas album that I recorded about 2 years ago.
Right.
That album started out as a tribute to Mississippi John Hurt, but, you know, I realized that it was a little too limited and I wanted to expand the scope of it. And so I started looking at music that was made during the time when John Hurt was first recording in the late 1920s. And I started looking at jukebox playlists, what was on the radio, what was being, you know, records that were popular. And so basically what I started to do is expand the scope of the project to become kind of a snapshot of the early days of American popular music. And, you know, I realized that a lot of fans and a lot of, especially younger generation people, they might assume that pop music started with rock and roll. And, of course, it didn't, you know. You know, there were popular songs that were selling millions of copies of records back in the 1920s.
Yep.
So I really wanted to shine a light on that very unique period of time when radio and records were in their infancy and just starting out. And so that's how the project started. Since that time, the Good Road Band has been on tour with me. We played in many shows, and we've really had a ball, and the band has just gotten better and better and better. And I was getting ready to do a big tour with Daryl this year, but of course, you know, that, mm-hmm. that all kind of came to a screeching halt because of the COVID thing. But so I wanted to record the band while they were still hot and while we were still, you know, kind of fresh from this all this touring. Because I don't know, as you know, a band just keeps getting better every time you play live.
Oh, yeah.
And so when we went back to the Station Inn where it all started, and we recorded this this live show, and it's basically live. I mean, there's not an overdub or repair or fix on this track. Everything you hear is exactly the way it happened that night. And so it's an authentic live album, and, you know, I didn't know I was going to be releasing it, really, but now with a lack of live shows, hey, man, I guess this is a good time to release a live album.
Well, it's got a lot of good, you know, critically acclaimed from a lot of people. A lot of people love it. I checked some of the comments on YouTube, and it's been a hit so far. I can tell.
Well, you know, listen, I just want, you know, this music I make now, my solo life is a labor of love.
Right.
I do it, you know, because this is part of my musical DNA from the early days when I was a kid, before I met Daryl Hall, you know, and we started and created something completely different. But that music has never left me, and it's been an integral part of my my musical influences.
What's cool is you do a cover of Don Gibson's "Oh Lonesome Me," which is the first song you learned to sing and play on the guitar, right?
Yeah, that's right. It came out in 1958, and I was 10 years old, and I remember, you know, I've been playing for a few years, but, you know, it's hard to kind of, when you're a little kid, to get up there and sing and play and accompany yourself. So I remember I learned that song, and I remember nervously got on stage and played it when I was a little kid. And to then fast forward to about 4 or 5 years ago, I was booked to play the Don Gibson Theater in Shelbyville, North Carolina, and there in the front row was Mrs. Don Gibson sitting. And I thought, well, there's no way I can play this show without playing "Oh Lonesome Me." So I played it as the first song in the show, and she loved it. And I thought, you know, one day I'm gonna record this. So this gave me an opportunity to do that.
I remember my first 45 that I bought, now I'm aging myself as well, was the Purple People Eater by Chev Woolley.
I remember that song. One horn, fly, Purple People Eater.
Yeah, yeah. And after that was, I think, The Twist, you know, Chubby Checker. I think that was the second one, I think. Yeah. You know, I was born in Baltimore, raised in D.C., so, you know, I identify with you, the Philly sound. You know, I grew up with R&B music. I love R&B music. Of course, Marvin Gaye's from D.C. And by the way, you guys do your partner do a fantastic version of that Marvin Gaye tune.
Oh, well, over the years live, we've covered a number of things. You know, some Gamble and Huff stuff. We've done versions of Love Train, Me and Mrs. Jones.
Yep.
What's Going On? I think that's the song you're referring to. Every once in a while, we throw in one of our old soul favorites.
Well, you guys got the voice for it, man. You guys are incredible. Another band that you were in, I've been listening to, is The Masters.
Right.
Wow.
That was my high school band. That was the band I was in before I met Daryl.
But you actually had a single out called I Need Your Love.
Yep.
And that was a killer song, man. It was really, really good. It kind of reminded me of two things. It reminded me of the 60s, of course, the early 60s R&B. But then your voice a little bit sounded like the British Invasion. It was kind of a mixture.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I'm not sure about that part. I was trying to sing like Curtis Mayfield and Smokey Robinson. So I don't know. Things translate in different ways.
Well, that song I could hear when you were singing I Need Your Love sounded a little bit like the British Invasion, but then the other song, Not My Baby, sounded a lot like Smokey Robinson. So
yeah.
There you go.
That was that was me trying to channel Mickey's Monkey.
Great tune. Man, what happened to that band? What happened to the Masters?
Well, you know, we were together for quite a while, actually, all through my high school years.
Uh-huh.
And we scrounged up enough money to make a record in the summer of 67.
Right.
And Daryl had his own band called the Temp Tones, and they were doing the exact same thing. We didn't know each other. And so both our records were being played at the same time on Philadelphia radio. And that's kind of what brought Daryl and I together. Two of the guys in my band got drafted into Vietnam.
Wow.
And so then I joined Daryl's band as a backup guitar player. Then that band broke up, and Daryl and I just kind of gravitated toward each other. So that's kind of how we met.
You guys are touring in 2021, and you've already got booked Tampa. You know, I'm in the Tampa Bay area.
Okay.
And you also got Hollywood in September 22nd, so we're excited about that. Now, are you going to be promoting this album on a solo tour late, you know, when things get better?
Well, if the world allows me to tour, yes, I would love. I mean, the Good Road Band is ready to play. On September, right after the album comes out, September 26th, we're going to do a live streaming television special on Nugs TV from 3rd and Lindsley, which is a club in Nashville. So we're going to do that, and if the world opens up and allows us to play some shows, we're going to play some shows. But right now, you know, it's not looking too good, but we've got our fingers crossed, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, outside shows, you know, like a drive-in movie, but, you know, and of course we've got all these concerts online and things like that. But, you know, we got to be close, you know, to doing shows again.
I'm glad you're positive. I'm the same way. I'm looking, you know, looking for a good sign, you know, and a vaccine and people being smart about what's going on, and maybe we can get back to some sort of normal.
Well, one good thing with me, I've been getting a lot of interviews because everybody's home.
Yeah, that's true. I've been doing a lot of virtual, performances and songwriting sessions, so yeah.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Hall & Oates. The album, what I've heard, though, is excellent. I'm sure I would give it 5 stars. It's really a kick-ass album, and it's like you said, very different from the Hall & Oates style.
Oh yeah, completely different. I mean, why would I do something to try to sound like Hall & Oates without Daryl? That wouldn't make any sense.
Exactly. I heard you in an interview talking about some of the, you know, the big songs like Maneater, and I was intrigued by, the Maneater. You said there was a woman that was, you know, vocally very loud. It's also about New York, you know, and how it eats you up and that kind of thing. But it was also wasn't it a woman that had a big mouth or something like that?
Well, a woman that had a foul mouth.
Okay.
she was beautiful. She was beautiful. She cursed like a sailor.
Right.
That was the initial inspiration. But when Daryl and I got together, we didn't really want to write about, we didn't want to say something bad about women. So what we did is we used the Maneater became a metaphor for the city of New York
right. In
the 80s when everything was operating at an accelerated pace. You know, if you've seen movies like Wolf of Wall Street, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So that's really what the song is really about, New York, how it'll chew you up and spit you out.
And She's Gone, I thought was very funny because you got stood up New Year's Eve, and was it a girl in a pink tutu and cowboy boots?
Yeah, I met her in the middle of the night in an all-night cafe, and we hit it off. We started hanging out, and on New Year's Eve, she was supposed to come over to my place, and she never showed up, and that's all I needed. That's the best stand-up date I ever had.
Well, what I understand, you did see her after that, right?
Oh, I ran into her here and there, but we never really had a relationship.
You know, when I was dating my wife, she had a pink tutu, and I made her get rid of it.
Oh, well, there you go.
I couldn't take it. I said, no, you're not wearing this in public, man. I can't go for that. No can do. Now, that's about kind of like the music business, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about not being pushed around by the music business, by management, by outside forces. It's about wanting to be independent and do what you feel is right as opposed to what the world wants you to do.
You guys have made so many great hits, man. Private Eyes, one of my favorites. Talk about Sarah Allen. A lot of people don't really say too much about her.
Yeah, well, she was Daryl's longtime girlfriend, and they were together for many, many years. And when Daryl and I were writing, she would be in the house, and she'd be kind of, listening to what we were doing. And little by little, through osmosis, she started throwing out song ideas, lyrics mostly. She provided a nice counterpoint to what Daryl and I were doing, especially our point of view from being men. So it gave it a female point of view, and her sister Jana Allen was also an up and coming songwriter, and she also contributed songs like Method of Modern Love and Kiss on My List and stuff like that.
Right. That's interesting. Here goes my phone now. Oh well.
That's
okay. I'm not going to answer it, and I'll just let it ring.
All right.
One thing I love about your songs too is the inflammation of the saxophone.
Yep.
You know, I love saxophone, and it's always just in the right place in all your music.
Well, we're fortunate to have an amazing saxophone player, Charlie Deschamps, who we call Mr. Casual, who's been with us since 1974.
Right.
He is an incredible musician, and his signature sound and style really is a key element in the Hall & Oates sound.
It is. It really is. Love saxophone. It's funny because I was watching, I don't know what I was watching, maybe YouTube last night or whatever, and for the first time I saw you guys on Johnny Carson. You were promoting Ooh Yeah, and I think it was 1988.
Okay.
That was the first time I saw you on Johnny Carson, and I thought I saw every episode of Johnny Carson.
Yeah, I think we were on it twice, but I can't remember.
What was it like being on that show?
It was surreal. Yeah. I'll tell you, because Johnny Carson was such a television icon,
yeah. And
everyone in those days, you know how it was, at late night TV, you turned on Johnny Carson, and he was in your living room. So all of a sudden, you walk out onto that stage, and you sit down on the couch, and that chair right next to him, and all of a sudden, you're like, it's really almost like, as I said, it was surreal. And, he did the whole thing with his, flipping his pencil, and, and he was super, super nice and very up and very energetic. And then, interestingly enough, when the commercial came, he just almost like he deflated. He just sat there.
Really?
Like maybe he was probably thinking of what he was going to do next or whatever. But it was as if they turned off a switch. And the moment the show came back on, he was like, boom, he was right back, with his bubbly personality.
Yeah, I heard in his personal life, he wasn't. He was kind of a private person, and maybe that's one of the reasons why he doesn't, turn on when he's not on the show,
Yeah, I guess so. Everyone has their own, tricks.
Yeah, exactly. My ambition when I was a kid, I wanted to be Johnny Carson. I wanted to be like a talk show host and that kind of thing. So, but yeah, I got to be a top 40 DJ back in the late 70s playing Hall & Oates music. So that's okay.
That's good.
I heard that you you guys were going to make an album, another album together, or were working on it. Is that true?
Well, we started the process, a very, very preliminary process of just gathering some ideas and throwing back and forth some song ideas with each other.
Right.
We were supposed to go on tour as well, and we played Madison Square Garden on February 28th,
mm-hmm.
sold it out. We thought this is going to be an amazing tour. We were all geared up to go, and then the rug got pulled out from us, just like it has for the rest of the world. It's on hold. We're going to get back to it, but right now there's no plans.
There's no plans right now. You're not in the studio or sending other stuff in the mail or whatever, huh? No. John, here's a question I ask everyone. I get some really interesting answers from everyone, too, and a lot of surprises. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
I would go back and I'd play with Mississippi John Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I'd play with Curtis Mayfield. I'd play with Chuck Berry. I'd play with Little Richard. If you combine those guitar players, that's kind of how I play. So that'd be the best I could do.
I was fortunate to see Curtis Mayfield play back, I think it was like 71 when I think Superfly just came out.
Uh-huh.
When that came out, did you know Curtis?
No, I saw him perform, but I didn't know him. I wish I would have known him.
Yeah, he really had a great, unique style, a unique voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was great. He was incredible. And another guy who passed away way before his time.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a shame. So what's next? We got this album cooking. You're going to promote it.
There's a bunch of stuff. I'm working on a movie. I've got three songs in a new up and coming movie called Gringa.
Uh-huh.
Which is a great little movie about a young girl who goes to Mexico to find her father. And I've been working with a young hip hop artist from South Carolina on one track. Working with a Mexican female singer to do a duet with me on another track. So there's some real cool, modern, more modern stuff that I'm working on now.
How far are you on the movie?
The movie's being edited. It's very close.
Oh, great.
And we have three songs on it. We may have a fourth even. And I think we have the title song and with fingers crossed.
That's awesome. And of course you have Change of Seasons. That's your memoir, which is big seller as well.
That took me 2 years to write that. Had a great collaborator with a guy named Chris Epting who did mm-hmm. a lot of research and really helped me pull that project together. But I'm very proud of that book, and I think I got a chance to tell my own personal story, but at the same time, I can't separate my personal life from my career with Hall & Oates because it's so much a part of my life.
Right. How long did it take you to write that book?
About 2 years.
Yeah, that's about right. I'm an author too, and the last book I wrote took 7 years. That's the Rock and Roll Chronicles.
Right.
That took a good 7 years, and that's series one. I think I'm going to do about four.
Well, it does take time. You got to go back and revisit things, and
The tough thing is the pictures, getting the rights for pictures and things like that.
Yeah, all that. You're right.
It's not easy. Well, I think that's all I've got today.
That's a good interview. We covered a lot of ground.
John, thank you so much for being on the show today. I hope to see you, I guess, next year in Tampa and also in Hollywood, Florida.
I hope so.
Good luck with the album. It sounds great. And take care of the family.
Well, I appreciate it. Same to you. I appreciate you spreading the word.
All right, John. Thank you so much, man.
Hey, man. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye now. For more information about John Oates, visit www.johnoates.com. Also on Facebook, www.facebook.com/John Oates Music. Also on Twitter, www.twitter.com/John Oates. And www.hallandoates.com. John Oates and the Good Road Band, live in Nashville, is set for September 18th release. You can probably either go to his website at www.johnoates.com or amazon.com and look for that. It's an incredible album, 5 stars all the way. It's like Dixieland dipped in bluegrass and salted with Delta blues, says John Oates. John went on the road with a good road band, the very same musicians that played on the album, and developed a critically acclaimed show, which he captured during a live performance at the legendary Station Inn in Asheville in June of 2020. The recording, which is releasing September 2020, displays the amazing talent of these world-class players and captures the energy of not only the music of Arkansas, but introduces new original songs as well. This is the culmination of 2 years of touring, and you can hear the players interacting and working together in a way that is outstanding, astounding. Also purchase Change of Seasons, a memoir from John Oates by Deckel Edge Publishers. It came out March 28th, 2017. It's by John Oates and Chris Epting, available at Amazon.com. And John Oates was born at the perfect time, paralleling the birth of rock and roll, raised in a small Pennsylvania town. He was exposed to folk, blues, soul, rock, and R&B, meeting and teaming up with Daryl Hall in the late 1960s. You'll love this book. It covers everything. Very special thanks to Tom Berger of Wolfson Entertainment, Inc. for arranging this interview with John Oates, and the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. And please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It is real news. My new book is finally out, entitled The Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1. It chronicles truths, confessions, and wisdom from the music legends that set us free. Order yours today on hardcover, a collector's edition hardcover, or ebook at bookbaby.com. Features over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world will ever know. You will love it. God bless. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. And we'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio. Station 1.